This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So, the only thing left to say is, you win? Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus, rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. Welcome to the Chelsea Fancast preview show, not on a Friday, no. Your Uncle Chidge is up to no good at the weekend, so we're having to have it on a Thursday. And apologies for anybody who's been confused by what time we were kicking off, my fault entirely. A weeny bit over-optimistic on the client front, thinking I would be home early enough to do it at 7, but I wasn't. But there you go. Lots to talk about, obviously, tonight. We've got Real Madrid review coming up. There's no Oppo view again because I just haven't had time to sort it out. But we will be having a look. According to my notes, it just shows you the addled state of my mind. We will be looking at the Southampton versus Chelsea versus Brentford preview. So we'll be playing two teams over the same 90 minutes, according to me. But there we go. We will be having a look at that. Anyway, we have, of course, the mendacious Jonathan Kidd.
Mendacious, I don't lie.
No. I mean, I must mean another word then.
You must.
Well, give me a word, JK.
Exuberant.
That'll do. There you go. The exuberant JK.
Thank you, Chidge. How lovely to be called exuberant by you.
Even I know.
I made you the word.
I can't believe how I thought of that so instantaneously.
Great stuff.
Yeah, Mr. Sticks just said shambles. I think he might be referring to the show. I would agree with him thus far. The most shambolic Chelsea Fancast performance since Chelsea's defensive performances of the last week. Did you just get my WhatsApp message, by the way? I want your reaction to it. Ready? Waiting? Technology? Always a bit difficult.
An absolute shark.
There we go.
Stinker.
I had a pint.
First order.
Exactly. I had a pint in a pub on Tuesday night, and I wandered up the road, and there that I went past the house that Terry Thomas used to live in, and I immediately thought of you. So I thought I'd take a photograph of the blue plaque. So there we go.
1911 to 1990, comedy actor. Yes.
Mm. One day there'll be a plaque for JK somewhere in London.
Oh, it'll be worse. When his teeth have been knocked out.
Yeah, it won't be me. It won't be
like
me.
Everywhere.
I'm not famous enough. JK, who have we got on the show tonight, mate?
Oh, God, that old chestnut.
Well, at least that's consistent.
If they can guess on Mixler. Brain of Stamford Bridge.
I can't hear them, JK. They're not.
They're not coming in. That's all I have to say. All right. It's the brilliant Mark Meehan.
Good evening, everybody. Hope everyone's keeping well after the debacle that was last night. Well, it wasn't that much of a debacle. Yeah. We could have got a draw in the end, but we'll talk about that in due course.
Yeah.
We will. Before you introduce our probably most important guest and third
guest. Is there someone else?
No.
Oh, yeah.
I just have to say something. You know those rumours, JK, about a book? apparently there was a book that I hadn't heard of that apparently some bloke called Mark Meehan wrote. Right? Well, I can confirm that the rumours are in fact correct, because I actually have a copy It's called Blue Tomorrow, JK.
Oh, but I sang on a song of
did
that.
Did you
name.
Really? I had no idea. I had no idea. So, Mark, I should say, more to the point, thank you so much for the copy. It was very, very sweet of you, and I can't wait to tuck into that. So there you go. Anyway,
my pleasure, and JK's copy, we need to meet up so I can give you his copy as well.
I'll just
prove it exists.
Yeah. I'll sing a bit of the song for you when I see.
All right, good. So who is our third guest? Second guest, third guest, I don't know.
Well, it's we haven't seen him for a bit, which is
no,
a
we
shame.
Haven't.
I thought he was a regular feature.
We tried to kidnap him last week, if you remember.
I remember, but he managed to struggle free.
Subbed in Daniel Childs, though, which went down quite well.
Well, but there was a theory from some people that he was going to take the show over.
Oh, what, Daniel?
Daniel, there was going to be a coup. You and I would be etched out.
It'll be about bloody time, mate.
Daniel Childs and Adam Newsom. Adam Newsom, whatever happened to him? Oh, he's on the show. How about that?
Exuberant.
Pertillant, as the French say. I don't know where I came up with that word, actually. The percussive, I've used that word before. I've used it for Mark. I'm going to use it again for Adam. The excellent, witty, informed journalist from football.london. It can only be the one and only, what's his name? Yes, it's Adam Newsom.
Well done, Adam. Words fail me after that. Are you well?
I'm good. I'm enjoying this Thursday vibe that's going here. It's very anarchic, basically. It's just all over the place. I'm liking it.
To be fair, Adam, I don't think it has anything to do with the day. I just think it has a lot more to do with my state of mind, having been at the football on Saturday for the first time since November. And then I went to a gig on Tuesday and got bugger all sleep. And then I went to the football last night and got home pretty late. My voice is almost gone through too much singing and too much shouting at the football. And my brain is clearly addled. But don't let that worry you. It's quite normal for me.
There's a touch of gallows humour about it all, isn't there? There's a touch of, you know, is it going to get worse? Is everything going to get worse? And we'll somehow just, you know, we'll rise above it.
What, the show or Chelsea?
Both.
Oh, yeah. Fair play. Yeah, fair point. Well, let's find out, shall we? Let's find out. Obviously, we're going to kick off with the review of Chelsea versus Real Madrid. I have to say, you know, I mean, I said it on Monday, then, didn't I? But I've been looking forward to seeing Chelsea play Real Madrid at Stamford Bridge forever, really, because I was too young we didn't play them in 71. I mean, the only time we haven't played them at home, apart from, of course, the last time last year, which is when we had COVID, so we couldn't go. So really, forever. Did they disappoint? Yes, thoroughly. First question. I'm gonna lob this bomb at JK for fear of doing the whole show in the next 5-10 minutes. But dare I say it, JK? What? I mean, you know, we said this on Monday, didn't we? I opened up with what's happened with our defence. I said our defence that has been so beautiful and rock solid and utterly brilliant. I'm going to do the same again with the hashtag number two, and actually number two is appropriate because it was an absolute pile of poo. And I texted you. I don't think you got it because you were probably seething somewhere in the East Middle. But I thought Christensen was getting ripped apart by Vinicius and was having a mare. And I was suggesting all sorts of subs. But it wasn't just Christensen at fault. I think the marking was non-existent for both Benzema's two goals. Won it.
In the last show, we couldn't believe that it would. We said it couldn't possibly be as bad as it was against Brentford. They couldn't do that. And we'd rise to the occasion. And somehow we would do as we did against Porto last year, which we'd lost to West Brom and then just came back and played excellently. But they didn't appear to have anywhere near the same organisation that they'd had when they won the Champions League. And it looked very similar to being taken apart by Bayern Munich for me. Lots of just chasing after people without much organisation. It was bewildering to see this disintegration. The one plus going forwards was them going forwards. They seemed to not actually be all at sea when it came to putting the ball down the right, because that was the only way they were going to get the ball across, because from the other side, Pulisic had an absolutely appalling game.
Absolute stinker.
And was not a complete stinker. Absolute stinker. I said on the fan bike, he was wearing the invisibility cloak, but in fact, I wanted to say, as in fact, the chap I was sitting next to, I said, Pulisic's dreadful. I said, he scored a hat trick during the week. He said it was against Panama and Costa Rica. He said, you've got to put that all into perspective. And I said, yeah, so that's a very good point. But I actually, for the first 35 minutes, I really thought we were going to get absolutely taken apart. And I had the kind of sinking feeling I used to get when I was little watching Chelsea and we were under the cosh, where my sphincter began to sort of tweak a little bit. And I got lower and lower in my seat. And I thought, we really are absolutely clueless against this team. And yet at the same time, you could see what ought to have been happening. And Tuchel, to his credit, was absolutely furious on the touchline. He didn't do what he did against Brentford, which was just to sit down. He just got up and just started ranting at everybody because they clearly were not doing whatever plan he had was. But from the beginning, you could say that to select Jorginho was an error because he could not deal with in the four, you know, having watched them all the time, all this season, you're going to be found out if Dave is playing on the left. I think this first time it happened, Chidge, for ages and ages, because he's not quick enough. He played for some reason, Reece, who had a fantastic last 10 minutes of the first half. He almost played him as a winger. So they were just chasing down the left. He didn't put anything. He didn't try and change it at all. And Vicinius, whatever his name is, was...
just call him Junior.
Junior. It's one of the quickest players that we've had played against. It makes you realise we should have that kind of pace playing for us. It has made me think actually how much better organised they were under Ancelotti than they were under what's his face, Zidane last year. But we didn't. I think we allowed them to look good, and in the end, you can't help but compare the brilliance of Benzema, who is a proper striker, scored the second goal he scored was blissful header, leaning backwards from just Modric didn't even look. He just whapped it into the middle, hoping that he would be on the end of it. Leaning back, running back from it, heading it into the corner. One of the great goals. And then we have in comparison this lump.
Wait till we get on him.
I know, but you told me that I'd do it in 5 minutes.
Yeah, but I don't want you to do the whole.
You don't want me to.
Want to have some left.
We want to get that, but in a sense, if you take away Benzema's two goals, we still probably would have got, and the appalling error by Mandy, we probably would have got away with.
Yeah, yeah. No, I accede to that excellent point. Mark, you had your finger up in the air or something.
I
do you want to go to the loo?
No, okay. That's my mother. My mother brought me up well.
Oh, she did indeed.
Yeah, she did. So you always put your hand up because it's very polite. Yeah.
Thank you for being so polite. Brain of Stamford Bridge.
The question I was going to ask when JK was talking about sinking into his seat, there was a moment in last night's game where the ball went into the east middle and someone, I think, was trying to keep it. Because it was staying in the east. So I didn't know that was JK sinking in his seat at that point just to keep them. Match ball, because it stayed up in the middle for quite a period of time before someone said, "Oi, you better give the ball back." Then they chucked it back on the pitch.
I think they were probably hoping the match would finish.
That could have probably been the celery moment last night, but there wasn't many of those. I would foul last night for me under frustration. I think wrong team picked. I was surprised, and I always had that litmus test of what's the reaction in the pub when the team comes out. And I know we'll talk about forward line later, but I don't think anyone had a problem with the forward line. Issues with midfield, but certainly issues with the defence. As good as Christian has been, if clearly he's out the door, and yes, you can say, well, he's part of the squad, you should play him. I still thought it was surprising that he was in the team last night. And if we were playing five at the back and we're playing Dave should have been where Christensen was, and Alonso should have been in the team for me.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
I think... Yeah, we didn't start with the right team in defence. But actually, to be fair to the defence as well, we didn't have the right midfield in front of them either. So there was a lot of times, and we haven't got it down, on here, but The Kante twins were probably twinless last night. He might have been on his own. And the midfield that was Modric and Kroos was pulling the single twin left and right and just leaving gaps everywhere. And I think the problem was the defence were exposed many times last night. But having said that, nonetheless, that first goal, as good as Benzema and world class that he is, it was poor marking as well. We should have picked him up. I would say for the second goal, no, that's just world class. I don't blame the defence for that. That was just a brilliant header. You know, that was just how he bent back and headed that in.
Running backwards.
Just going back. That was a tremendous goal. But again, we should have put ourselves in those positions purely and simply. You know, we didn't have the right team in front of the defence. And we'll talk about Mendy later. So it was just frustrating because I still think overall, yeah, we weren't bad. I don't buy into this Twitter nonsense today. We weren't bad for 90 minutes.
No.
We were bad for 15 minutes.
Well, we were bad for 10 minutes against Brentford and got punished. Adam.
Yeah, we were bad for 15.
Yeah, yeah. Adam. You know, just to kind of dwell on the midfield point, and I was very cross with Christensen because I thought he was getting pulled out of position all night, and Vinicius Junior had his number clearly, but the midfield, I think, is where the real problems were. And I do wonder. I mean, I think a lot of credit has to be given to Ancelotti, as Jonathan was alluding to. I think tactically he had it absolutely spot on, and he's done his homework. No coincidence that this is a guy who's managed in the Premier League, I thought, because we were outnumbered in midfield. They played three in midfield. We effectively played two. And they aggressively pressed us everywhere. And we've seen teams like Villa, West Brom, you can name a number of teams in the Premier League who've gone out and outnumbered us in midfield and aggressively pressed us, and we can't cope. And I saw the same thing happening last night, but with a world-class striker to score the goals which people like West Brom don't have. But of course, we'll ignore the 5-2, but you know what I mean.
He's an Irish international, surely that world-class?
Yeah, not really, Mark. Not really. So there you go, Adam. That's my prognosis, but what do you reckon?
I do agree that the midfield was an issue last night, and it wasn't. I think they played that three, as you mentioned, of Kroos, Modric and Casemiro, and they also had Fede Valverde dropping in to really overload Chelsea down that side whenever Real were building attacks. And it's, I went into this game having the discussion with people I work with actually about Kante, and there was this debate of would you start Kante, because he hasn't been, bar the Lille game at home, he hasn't been in brilliant form for pretty much since the turn of the year, and my view on it was, well, of course you start Kante because he's Kante and it's the Champions League and it's the quarter final, of course he'll suddenly turn it back on and be this sort of tour de force and single-handedly sort of drive Chelsea forward. And that didn't happen. And maybe it was too much to expect him to suddenly rediscover his very best. But I didn't expect him to get pulled around as much as he did. Much in a similar sort of sense to Jorginho. I didn't think he played brilliantly despite getting the assist for Kai Havertz, his goal. Again, he hasn't been brilliant since the start of the year either. Whether or not this is down to fatigue, mental fatigue as well as physical fatigue, I'm not sure. But I think last night, for me, made me realise that there's a lot of players in this team at the moment who aren't at the level that they probably were when we got to the Champions League at this point last year. So I don't think Mount's in the best form.
Agreed.
I don't think, yeah, Jorginho and Kante aren't in the best
Agreed.
Form. Obviously, we've got no Chilwell. I think Rudiger's dipped a little bit in the last couple of games. And Mendy's not in the form he was. And in my head, I was just kind of thinking, well, you know what? This is a team that, you know, performs on the biggest stage. We've seen it over the last year when against the biggest teams, they can step up. And it didn't happen. And that's the sort of discussion point now, I think. And the problem that Tuchel has to solve is, right, yes, he got the team wrong. I think he should start Kovacic. I would have started Alonso, even though I don't think he's brilliant. And I wouldn't have started Christensen. But I think it's just, I don't know if it's fatigue. Tuchel did mention after the game, Chelsea played more matches in 2022 than pretty much anyone else. And they've gone to extra time a lot of occasions in that as well. But I do think there needs to be a hard look. And, you know, from what I've been told today, even though I've actually been off today, but from what I've been told, you know, there have been conversations between players and staff today at Cobham. And you'd hope that these issues are resolved for Southampton. But I don't know. I'm not sure how easy it is to resolve this, because I do think there's probably a wider issues of form and probably fatigue that results may be papered over. And we all kind of fell into that trap of thinking, well, it's all going well because players were producing moments in games. And Kai Havertz, I thought, was brilliant last night.
He was great, wasn't he?
I thought he was great.
Can I just quickly butt in? I thought Mason Mount was excellent last night too.
I
mean, he really put a shift in again. And he
never
does
stop
it.
Running. Never ever stopped.
Yeah, I thought he was excellent. But sorry, go on, Adam.
No, I think you're always going to get that energy from Mason, and it's, you know, it's what his game's about. I just don't think we're seeing the same level of decisiveness, I guess, that we can see from him. And you know, even in his pressing, I don't think he's getting it just as spot on as he was. And that's not just a him thing. I think that's a Chelsea attack thing. You know,
but I think it's a unison thing. I think it's all of the very fact
that
Pulisic was outstanding this time last year, as with all of them, and it all gelled. So they scored a great goal against Madrid as well in the semi-final. And I'd say Pulisic was invisible. And the one thing that I noticed was they were terribly good at pressing in unison and pushing teams out of their rhythm, and particularly with Atletico when they played there, and they actually pushed them to the side by just, it looked as if there were four or five players milling around every single attack. We don't appear to have any of that energy at all that we had last year.
That's what
won them, the Champions League, because it suppressed the opposition, who couldn't deal with it and gave the ball away all the time. And then we were slick going forward and passing, and it was setting it up. We're not seeing any of that at all.
No. And I think that's part of the issue yesterday is you know, you to press like that, you need every player absolutely on it and the coordination to do it spot on. And as soon as you lose, one player doesn't make the run at the right time or the right movement. Yeah. You see what we saw last night, which is Real Madrid able to get out, and then suddenly they're 3-on-3 or four, or, you know, 3-on-4 with Jorginho chasing back, because, you know, we know Jorginho can't cover the ground as quickly as other players. And yeah, I agree with you, JK. I think the press wasn't right yesterday, and that was probably the first big issue, and then everything else sort of rolled on from there. But to be fair, look, I thought both of Benzema's goals were incredible.
Incredible.
Just like I thought the first header, he doesn't score that anywhere else unless he gets it bang on where he did. And that second header was gorgeous as well. So he's arguably the best player in the world right now. And he scored two goals and then was given another. So,
well, we'll talk about the other one later. Mark, you wanted to pop in?
Yeah, it was just back to obviously talking about Kante and JK's point about energy. And I think Kante has always epitomised the energy in our side. You know, we make the jokes about the Kante twins. He does the work of two players. And I don't know whether it is fatigue or it's injury. And we don't do stats in this show because, as the Reverend Glover would say, it's normally arse gravy, but I'll break a habit. You know, if you look at his stats for last night, he didn't win any tackles. He didn't do any interceptions, no blocks, and no of his famous dribbles where he takes the ball down the pitch. And that is just unreal for a player of his calibre. So I just wonder whether or not, you know, He's the energy of the team. He's the heartbeat of that midfield. And it just wasn't there last night. So whether or not he hasn't got the energy himself because he's either tired or he's carrying an injury still. Because I think, and Adam might know, statistically, I can't remember Kante being taken off many times after a first half. He might get substituted during the set. I don't remember any half-time substitutions for Kante to come off.
No, I don't think it's happened before. Yeah. And if it has, it wasn't for a tactical reason, which is what Tuchel said it was last night.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, and this is more speculation on my part than genuine information, but during the international break, Kante had to leave the France setup for personal reasons. Now, we don't know what they were. Now, look, as I say, it's speculation, but if there's, you know, something going on off the pitch at the moment we don't know about, then it's understandable. And this is the thing, we don't know, and it's easy to get just focused on the performances. We don't know what's going on in a player's private life.
Who are you talking about, Adam?
So that,
who are you talking about?
Kante. So during the international break.
Right.
Kante. So during the international break, he left the France squad. I think he missed one game. for what was described as personal reasons. And you know, as I said, look, it may have just been an isolated incident and it's done. It may not be. We don't know. And it's, again, it's me putting two and two together, and look, I might be completely wrong.
Adam, to be fair, Adam, that would make
it's easy
a lot of
to
sense
forget
to
that players are people.
They're human. They're human beings at the end of the day. And he's such a phenomenal player. He does the work of two men. You know, the last couple of games, just not being the same player. So that would make absolute sense to me. You know, they're human beings. Something can go going on behind the scenes that we just don't know about. Yeah.
Adam, I wonder on a related point. I mean, we've got a few Muslims in the team. I'm told it's Ramadan at the moment, and I know they've fasted before. I mean, I remember stories about Kante doing that. So maybe that might explain his lack of energy and Rudiger and Mendy's brain fart.
I mean, potentially, but then Benzema is as well, and he was all right.
Oh, well, so bollocks to that theory, then.
Yes, because it's
just an idea. I don't know. You know.
It's a theory. But yes, I know Karim Benzema's Muslim as well, and he seemed okay.
He seemed very well.
I think he broke his fast, something like 30 minutes before kickoff or something. Oh, maybe. He broke his fast.
Maybe he had an isotonic drink or 10. I've got another theory, which I ran on Monday, and I'm not saying everybody poo-pooed it, but I'm going to run with it again, because I think having seen what I saw last night, I think it has far more credence. And that is that the international break has burst the Chelsea bubble, by which I mean that's another way of saying what a lot of other people have been saying, which is, oh, yeah, well, you know, all the players are affected by what's going on with the sale of the club and all of that. Which I didn't believe before the international break, but I'm beginning to now. And the reason for that is that I think that Tuchel did an excellent job keeping the players within this bubble and got them focused entirely on the football. And they were playing pretty well during that period, as we remember. And then they go away on the international break, and suddenly they're outside of that Chelsea bubble. They're playing with other players, you know, mates of theirs who play for other teams. Suddenly they're more aware of the news. There's bound to be banter going on. I mean, I'll give you an example. I met a very old friend of mine at this gig on Tuesday night that I haven't seen for ages. Massive gooner, both of them, and they're lovely people. And the first thing they said to me is, "Oh, Chidge, what are you going to do now? Your club's being so..." You know, so it's, I can imagine the same is happening with these players. And I just wonder if it's got into their heads a bit, Adam.
Potentially, Tuchel was having none of that in his post-match last night. Mm. He said, if that's an excuse, I don't accept it, because we had this uncertainty going on before when we were getting results. So he's not having that. But as you know, as on a similar sort of theme, you know, players are people, and
uncertainty.
No matter how much you want to try and block it out, yeah, uncertainty in your job always makes it more difficult. So it could be just seeping in a little bit. But, you know, I don't think this is going to get done in the next couple of weeks or anything. So I think this is going to continue for a little while yet, yeah. Even though, in theory, the preferred bidder will be known within sort of the next couple of weeks and taken on. But even then, you know, there's still going to be a period of uncertainty as to how long the takeover takes. And
the government have to approve as well, don't they?
Yes, they have to sort of grant a new license for that sale to take place. So, they, you know, if that is the case, it's understandable, but the players can't continue to be affected by it, basically. As much as we know it's difficult to block it out, they have to try and find a way to try and get back on track, because we'll see how things go at the Bernabeu next week.
We will.
Maybe some kind of miracle, may not be, but there's still the FA Cup semi-final to come, and there is still the sort of small matter of sewing up the Champions League for next season, because there are teams just starting to sort of appear in the rear view again.
Yeah, definitely. JK, the time has now come to properly analyse Maundy's brain fart. I mean, I'll tell you what, just pitch in first. You know, I was ranting and raving. I had a lovely bloke sitting next to me, who I don't see often, but when he does turn up, we have an absolute giggle, and we were swearing and moaning for the entire first half. And I did finish it off with suggesting what I would do. And I was very pleased to see that Tuchel did not exactly the same as me, because he went to four at the back, obviously. But he took Christensen off, which was my main bone of contention, and he brought Kovacic and Ziyech on, which is what I wanted. But that goes completely out of the fucking window when your goalkeeper does a Rick like that. I mean, if I'm Tuchel in that moment, I'd have gone down the pub if I was Tuchel. I would have thought, fuck you lot. Really? What is the point? What is the point of me even being here?
It was schoolboy. It was appalling. It's the team talk disappears out of the window. The structure of the second half, the fact that they gained momentum in the last 10 minutes.
They were looking good. I thought they might get another one before half time.
Reece was performing out of his skin on the right. Yep. They were creating lovely little triangles. They were forcing Madrid to rethink. And then that fucking idiocy took place. I mean, you just think, what the fuck? I saw some people trying to blame Rudiger somehow, as if it was his fault that he didn't tackle Benzema hard enough. Well, if he'd tackled him harder and then fouled him, he'd have been sent off because he was yellow carded after 18 minutes. But it really, to some extent, it's been it's an accident waiting to happen with Mandi ever since the West Ham game, because he almost did it again, didn't he? Yeah. Later on, and you'd have thought that it was something that they would work on with him. He seems to he obviously saw the vision of Benzema rushing up to him like the wind and thought, oh, somehow it got into his head. He just needed to have just relaxed and played a normal pass, but which you'd have thought he was really, that's what one of the reasons he was chosen to be the Chelsea goalkeeper, because of his ability to play out from the back. But it's becoming dodgier and dodgier. And it was game-changing. You could see heads dropped for a small period. And they fought hard, but you knew from then on that we didn't know, because if Lukaku had scored with that header, then we still would have been back in it. Indeed. We still have had opportunities to get back, which makes you realise that the fact that they... he gave that goal away really just was the knife in the wound, wasn't it?
It really killed it for me, and because you just thought, you know, like you said, we were looking, we'd come back into the game, have it scored. I thought we might get another one before half time. At 2-1, you know, you just want another goal. 2-2 wouldn't have been a bad result, I don't think, given that we don't have away goals anymore. But 3-1, I just thought, Jesus, Mark, you wanted to come in.
Yeah. It was 40,000 in the ground last night. There was almost a universal, for fuck's sake, you know, people saying it under their breath. You know, if there'd been microphones, they'd probably picked it up in certain parts of Matthew Harding, because I think people at halftime were in that sense of optimism. I think we recovered the 15 minutes we'd lost. We finished the stronger. I thought we'd pull it back in the second half, but that just killed it completely. Yeah, JK's right. I think it was remarkable what we did manage to do in the last half hour plus of the game. We could have easily still got a draw, but it was such an uphill moment from there. And he's got previous. You know, he did it earlier in the season. He had a faux pas against West Ham as well. And having played in goal, there was no need in the first minute of the second half for him to be that far out of his goal. It was just unnecessary.
It was just a punt upfield, Mark. Yeah, it was exactly. A punt upfield. Yeah. Meaningless kick upfield. Yeah. It was...
It really was. It really was. Yeah. Hey ho, Adam. Kind of a really kind of feeds on from what we were saying a minute ago, really. But I've tried to avoid talking about Lukaku for obvious reasons. But the thought has occurred to me: if you kind of conflate form, and you conflate the uncertainty, and then you conflate the issues with some of the players that we have. You know, and you put all that together, massive. I'm beginning to put my tin foil hat on, obviously, but when you look at the performances of Lukaku, who just doesn't look interested, frankly, and you look at Werner, who's bottling out of 50-50 challenges, which tells me he's not interested. He's not giving 100% if he's doing that. And you look at Christensen, who looked like half of himself was already in Barcelona, then... Are some Chelsea players, frankly, making themselves unpickable at the moment?
It's a difficult question. I suppose to an extent, no, because there are so many games that Tuchel has to rotate. So it becomes inevitable that they probably will get given a run out at some point. But it does go back to that sort of, that feeling I was talking about earlier. There's a lot of players in this squad at the moment who aren't at the level they should be for various different reasons. And yeah, Lukaku's one of them. The chance he missed, I saw in live, but because of where the press box is, I didn't quite appreciate exactly how clear that was at the time. And then the TV screens that were in the press box weren't on for some reason. So I only saw it this morning on when I looked back at the highlights. So I genuinely thought, Jesus, that was a huge chance, which I didn't quite appreciate from where I was sitting. But I guess he's not playing regularly. You know, he's not probably in the rhythm. He doesn't have the confidence that you'd want. There are mitigating factors, but still, for a player who cost Chelsea best part of £100 million, that's a chance he has to take. Werner, you know, I can't see him starting many more games, even with rotation, to be honest. He's so out of form, out of confidence, and probably understandably just doesn't want to be here anymore because, you know, it's really not worked out for him. And, you know, he seems a nice guy. From, you know, what you see and what I've heard, he seems a really nice guy. But yeah, understandable if he's not feeling it at the moment. And then, yeah, Christensen, yeah, I mean, look, Tuchel was asked about this last Friday, it must have been now, about Christensen to Barcelona and the rumours. And as the question was being asked, Tuchel broke out to a massive smile and sort of just said, well, yeah, we've heard these rumours too. And I was like, okay, Thomas. You can say what you want to say, but your face is giving this away here. But he still said he'd pick Christensen as long as he's in the squad, he'll pick him, and he follows through on that. And it didn't work out. It was a really bad performance from Christensen. I don't think he was overly helped by Reece. To be fair, I think Reece could have probably dropped back a little bit at points.
Yeah, he played but then far up, didn't he? Reece?
But then I do think part of it's Tuchel as well wanting him to be up the pitch. You know, Tuchel demands that Reece gets up the pitch, so it is. It's a tactical thing as well as a decision-making thing. There's just a lot of players who aren't playing well and who are not forcing Tuchel's hand, basically, to be in the team. So I'm not sure anyone is unpickable, but I don't think anyone's making themselves undroppable, barring Havertz,
Wobble about Lukaku for a second. Do you mind? Is that okay? Just a quick... Because I just find it... If you see somebody like Benzema playing in comparison with Lukaku, and Lukaku is supposed to be, you know, there was a period where they were saying he was the best striker in the world, 97 million. And we have yet to see Lukaku actually shoot on sight or do anything that a striker like Benzema is supposed to do. It was like having the control of what is supposed to be the top striker in the world at one end. And at the other end, you've got this uncompetitive fart just standing there, not doing anything at all. And it for me, it just actually made him worse seeing Benzema playing, because you thought, this is a proper striker. And we've got this Gareth playing for us, haven't we? We've got this see you next Tuesday.
He's a thunder Gareth, mate.
Who's supposed to be the best striker in the world, who is fucking useless. And I've now come on to this. I'm sorry, I can't bear it. I cannot bear this. What on earth is going on with this situation? Because we've constantly said, well, he has enough games, needs to keep going. The same with Werner. You then see a proper centre forward playing out of his skin, and you see this served up for you, and you go, what on earth has happened here? I just absolutely despair.
Me
can
too.
Can I play devil's advocate here? And I'm not.
Oh, no! No!
I'm not disagreeing with the concept of Lukaku's playing badly, because he is. But let's not forget, when he first arrived, he battered Arsenal, and then he scored those two goals. Was it two goals against Villa? At home. One of them was a very well-taken goal, and the second one was he shot on sight from the edge of the box.
But sort of that even makes it worse.
But
what's
it's
happened?
He arrived with this sort of confidence, this I'm the alpha, I'm going to drag this team to the title, I'm going to be the guy. And slowly, that confidence or feeling has edged away, and you're now left with this sort of...
Husk.
Of an elite striker. And I don't want to go down the route of why does this keep happening at Chelsea? But why does this keep happening at Chelsea?
I know. I'm going to move on before JK explodes. Mark.
Just a very quick point. What was the remarkable thing about last night, Adam? There wasn't just one chance. There was two chances. And I was in the Matthew Harding. So like you, I saw the better chance on TV this morning. And I thought, oh, it's even worse now. Like the first header he got, he nearly hit the corner flag. And obviously then he had that miss.
Yes.
And that, that miss is shocking. But the remarkable thing, the remarkable thing about those two headers last night, and you compare them to Benzema, if he'd put, I know it's if, buts and maybes, if he'd put those two in, that could have redefined his season. Yeah, he didn't do a lot last night. He didn't move about a lot. But he had two gilted chances that most other strikers probably would have put away. We could have got out of jail. We could have got a draw. It keeps the tie open for next week. And he'd been a bloody hero. Yeah, that's just a remarkable thing. Sometimes one moment, we talked about Mendy's moment, one or two moments can define a game of football. He had two moments last night to redefine his season. And he blew it.
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree more, Mark. Adam, so we all of us don't explode. I'm gonna. That's enough of the Real Madrid. The Real Madrid match. Apart from, Mark picked up on this, but I thought that the crowd was superb last night. I mean, I sit in Gate 17 in the Matthew Upper, and it's a bit like a retirement home, to be honest. But so it's rare it's rare when everybody around you is absolutely singing from 5-10 minutes before kickoff. I mark you, and it was brilliant. It was just what we needed, just what I predicted would happen on Monday, just what Tuchel had asked for. Apart from when Mendy did that brain fart and the whole life just sucked out of us. But nevertheless, I thought that was good, and I like to see the fact that Thibaut Courtois got so much stick as well. I was very pleased about that. Anyway, enough of Real Madrid. Tuchel thinks we're done. I don't know. We'll talk about that on Monday. I'll talk about that on Monday. Adam, what else has been going on Chelsea news wise? I've been a bit out of the loop this week because I've been so busy. So you're the man, and you're the man that makes the news. What's been happening?
Well, the takeover stuff's still going on. Todd Bowley was at the game last night to watch from a very swanky director's box, I'm sure. And he's had meetings, I believe, today as well. So it's still going forward. I genuinely don't know who is the front runner, but my gut feeling, and it is nothing more than that, it's not based on information or anything like that, is it's one of Ricketts or Bowley, because they seem the least complicated to do it. And I think it's, the date's in my head. I think it's start of next week.
Yeah, the 11th. The bids have to be in by the 11th. Yeah. And then I think on the 18th, Rain plan to present one to the government.
Yes, thank you, Chidja.
Did you get a program?
Keeping this all straight.
Did you get a program?
No, none of the press did last night. So,
cutbacks,
JK, did you get one, JK?
No, they weren't given away. No, we were told the Millennium Suite.
Millennium Suite director's box last night. Yeah, they're already on eBay for £50.
Like the people who sit in the Millennium and the director's box need to sell it on eBay for £50.
Exactly.
Probably the staff. They probably didn't pick them up, and the staff flog them.
But I heard a lovely story the other night from Nathan from the Chelsea Grave Society. He was in the Cock after the Brentford game, and some guy who clearly sat in corporate came into the Cock, and he brought about 20 programmes in with him, and he just gave them out to Chelsea fans.
Oh, like that. Robin Hood style.
There's good people out there.
Yeah, there are.
Whoever that person is, they're top class.
They are. All right, that's enough of all of that. No other news that we should know about, Adam?
Off the top of my head, no. I mean, no, I don't think so. Tuchel was pretty despondent last night, actually.
Well, actually, on that point, that's a good point, actually. I didn't put this down the script, but I think that's the most pissed off we've seen him since he's been at Chelsea. Given everything that else is going on, both in his personal life and, of course, what's going on with his employers, should we be worried about Tommy T?
Probably not. But, again, much a similar point of earlier, he's a human being. There's a lot going on in his life. It would be natural when you get a kick in the balls like last night, essentially, that you're extremely pissed off and you want to vent a bit. And
I'd be worried if he wasn't pissed off, to be frank.
Yeah, he was probably the most spiky I've seen him on. I watched the BT Sport interview when I think it was Des Kelly asked him, you seem a bit fed up. And his reply was, well, what do you expect me to do? Smile, which I enjoyed, actually. And even in his post-match press conference, he was a little bit spiky and a little bit, not sulky, but a bit dejected. And yeah, to come out and say, he said the tie is over, but he then qualified that by saying, well, it's over for now because we have to focus on Southampton. There's no point worrying about the second leg at this point. Which you can take either way, because I'm sure in the back of his mind he'll be trying to work out how to beat Real Madrid still, and thinking maybe we could do this against Southampton to try this or whatever. So yeah, but he was pretty irritated, understandably so, last night, and was very willing to show that to the sort of media, which you know he doesn't always do.
It's
press conference again tomorrow. And I'm sure he'll be back to his usual. Well, we'll see. Actually, it'll be interesting to see.
Are you going?
Yes, I am. So it'll be interesting to see if he's back to sort of jovial, sort of almost laissez-faire tickle, or whether he will still be a bit pissed off because it's not a huge amount of time to turn around from it.
Yeah, definitely that. There we go. Brilliant stuff, Adam. Do you want to stay for part two, or are you going to go and have your dinner?
No, go on, I'll stick around.
Good man, there we go.
I heard Daniel getting loads of praise for sticking around last
week. Whoa, there we go.
You know, I've got to up my game, don't I?
You see, I'm not just a complete idiot that people think that I am. I'm a very shrewd, tactical, strategic manager. And basically, they knew that would happen. No, I had no fucking idea. You know that. You know me well enough to know that is absolute bollocks, Adam. But I have to say, I'm delighted you are staying as well. So that's brilliant. Before we toddle off for a quick break, it's my usual plug, Aruni, for the good old CFC UK. The new one was available last night. They're probably sold out now because probably everybody bought them and used them as impromptu umbrellas in the absolute biblical drenching that I got drenched in on the way to the ground last night. But there you go. But if you didn't get a copy and you can't get a copy by going to the stall, do not panic. You can subscribe to CFC UK by emailing fanzine@cfcuk.net. And a subscription for a year, it's about 8 to 10 copies. In the UK, it's £16, Europe, £35, rest of the world, £45. Or you can get a digital copy emailed to you. And they are £6 for a year subscription or pound each, or as Dave would say, only a pound. And you can pay by PayPal. So there you go. We'll be back in a sec for part two. Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Cheech.
JK! In all the years you've been following Chelsea, you hardly ever miss a match, home or away. But how would you feel if you couldn't be there and it's not on TV?
Oh, Cheech, I'd be bereft. Inconsolable. The thought of missing my beloved Blue Boys live. It's all too much.
I know, JK, I know. It's all a bit too much, isn't it?
Yes.
Well, panic not. NordVPN have come to the rescue.
They have?
Yep, NordVPN allows us to watch any match, even if it's not on live TV here.
They do?
Yeah, they do. With just one click, they switch your virtual location to a country which is showing the match, and they act as your cyber bodyguard whilst online, protecting your personal data and sensitive info like card details and passwords.
Oh, wow, great. But I bet that'll cost me a fortune.
Actually, JK, it's only the price of a cup of coffee per month, and you can use your account across 6 devices. It's a bargain, JK. And best of all, no more tears for you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, NordVPN. I'm so happy I could cry. Where do I sign up, Jidge?
Well, to get the best discount off your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/ChelseaFancast. There's no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee, and you'll help support the Chelsea Fancast. The link is in the podcast episode description box.
Real fans, real opinions. I'm Jason Cundy, and you're listening to the Chelsea Football Fancast. Up the Chelsea!
Footballfancast.com.
Welcome back. This is the Chelsea Fancast preview show, and I am, of course, Stamford Chidge, and I'm joined as ever by Jonathan Kidd.
Fantastic to be on the show, Chidge, even though my heart is broken.
Indeed, indeed. And we've got the lovely Mark Meehan.
Evening, everybody. My heart isn't broken, and I'm still trying to keep it real.
Well, good for you, Mark, and I concur. Now, the best news of all tonight is that, remarkably, I have to say, for part two, we've got Adam Newson still with us. How about that?
Thank you very much.
Is it going to be the Newson Childs cast?
What?
Is that a reference from before I was born? I feel it might be.
No, not at all. I just wondered where Daniel Childs and you were going to take over. That was all.
Oh, he's talking about the coup. It happens when you get to a certain age, Adam. You get these kind of delusions and stuff. But there you go. Right, Southampton versus Chelsea, the preview. Which I don't like doing on a Thursday because there's absolutely diddly squat information about. But nevertheless, and I don't even know about the injuries because, of course, we won't know about those until tomorrow when Tommy T has his presser. So I've gone out on a bit of a limb here, JK. But you know me, fortune favours the brave or the stupid. And this is what I've gone for, JK. I've gone for Kepa in goal, Rudiger, Silva, Chaloba as the right of the three, James, Kovacic, Loftus-Cheek, Alonso. And up front, Mount, Havertz and Ziyech. Okay. Now, why have I done that? I just think Mendy, after that unbelievably appalling Rick, I think maybe his head's a bit fried at the moment. And I think he could do with at least a game rest. Chaloba gets in all day long ahead of Christensen for me at the moment. James is an obvious pick. Alonso is the only left wing back we have. And if we play 3-4-3 or 3-4-2-1, which I think he'll have to because Southampton play four in midfield and they're the two wide men will operate as wide men, so we won't be outnumbered in midfield. So I think he'll want to go 3-4-3 or 3-4-2-1. So Alonso is the obvious pick there for me. Kovacic, it's criminal that he's not starting at the moment because nobody else in the side in the midfield does what he does, and he's doing it very well at the moment. Jorginho, I think, is fried, like Adam was alluding to earlier, and I'm sick to death of his sideways passing, which I think causes a lot of problems for the players up front. So, you know, I know that Loftus-Cheek wasn't brilliant against Brentford, but then none of them were. I'd be prepared to give him a go. I think the fact that Tuchel is prepared to give him a go says something, and perhaps what it says is that he's fed up with Jorginho. So I would give him a go. So it would be Loftus-Cheek and Kovacic for me in midfield, and I think the best three we've got up front at the moment are Mount, Havertz and Ziyech. I think a lot of the team, in some ways, is picking itself. But what do you think, Mr. Kidd?
I can't abide Cheek as a player for Chelsea. Now, I think it's reached a stage of...
Well, could have Saul, I suppose, yeah, couldn't we?
Yeah, yeah. I don't see why he doesn't give him a go in that position, considering the few times he's actually played more recently in midfield, he's not been bad. I just think Cheek slows it down so much and is caught in possession. I mean, once again, what's the alternative? You know, there doesn't appear to be one. I agree with you. Jorginho is a bit creaky. If Marcus, if you play in a five and Rudiger can protect Marcus, and he plays very far forward, he's a very decent player, Alonso. It seems a pretty good... selection to me, Chidge. I think you've done well, given that we don't want Werner to play. I think the problem is we're now beginning to select teams on our prejudices rather than how they're probably going to play on the day or how he thinks they're going to play, obviously, because it wouldn't surprise me if Werner gets a run out. You know, we keep saying every single time, that must be surely the last time Werner will play, and lo and behold, you know, there he is. And similarly, we might then think Havertz must play. He's playing out of his skin. He might give Lukaku a go. It's so difficult to predict. But in terms of who I would like to be playing in the side, I think Chalabar should play, Silva should play, Rudiger should play, Lonzo should play, Saul should play, Kovacic should play, James should play, and Ziyech, Havertz, and Mount, and Pulisic shouldn't, unless something happens to him.
Unless we're playing Costa Rica.
And yeah, that's different. Yeah, in fact, yes, it looks like Costa Rica, but that's what I would think. So I'm in terms of agreement with you. I think it's pretty likely that looks a pretty decent side to me that he'll select. Yeah,
cool, excellent.
And with the Kepa situation as well. Having said that, though, it wouldn't surprise me to see Mendy just carrying on. Actually,
well, that's just me being spiteful, really. But you never know. I'm actually thinking about it. I'm not just being spiteful. Actually, I just generally think that there have been a few mistakes creeping in to Mendy. We've been calling it out on the show for the last God knows how many weeks. So, you know, maybe there is an issue there. Maybe he's, again, like Jorginho, like a lot of these players, he played a lot of games, he's had a massive role to play with Senegal in the African Nations Cup and the World Cup. You know, maybe he's mentally fatigued. So, you know, mental fatigue can be as serious as an injury. Take him out of the firing line, let him have a bit of rest and then see what happens. Adam, what do you think, mate?
It's a tricky one, isn't it? Because if you take Mendy out of this game, then do you then damage his confidence further for what you would imagine would be Real Madrid away he'd start? So I don't know. My suspicion is he probably sticks with him and sort of backs him. And I honestly really don't know what will be in Tuchel's mind for this game. And I appreciate that means sort of sitting on the fence for this, but it's, do you try and give players a rest because many of them look tired? Like Thiago Silva's played the second most minutes of any outfield Chelsea player this season, and that was never expected to happen. So do you give him a rest and do you go with Christensen maybe in the middle? Do you try and give Aspi a break and play Chalobah on the right of the back three with Christensen and Rudiger maybe? Perhaps the midfield is tricky. I'm not against Ruben starting. I'm not going to be disappointed if sort of Kante's given a rest and Jorginho's given a rest. I, to be honest, had not entirely forgotten Saul played for Chelsea, but had slipped to the back of my mind over the international break when I saw him on the bench against Brentford again. I was genuinely a bit, he's still here. Tuchel seems to have not really trusted him, barring a couple of outings at left wing back. So, yeah, I honestly, and I appreciate this is probably not ideal for a podcast, but I genuinely am not sure where he'll go with this. We'll get more of an indication tomorrow as to sort of what he's feeling and thinking. But it's an incredibly difficult 11 to pick because you do have to, I guess, try and keep Real Madrid in the back of your mind whilst also trying to win this game.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean it will be an intriguing team selection because we've got Real Madrid on Tuesday, and of course it will tell us, I think, a lot more about whether he thinks we can do something against Real Madrid. Actually, I really do, but I think he can't take this flaming match lightly. I mean, you made this point earlier on, actually, Adam, didn't you? I mean, Arsenal, bless their cotton socks, did us an enormous favour by losing 3-0 to Palace last weekend after we screwed up so royally. So, you know, we're still 5 points ahead of both Tottenham and Arsenal, having played a game less than Spurs. So, you know, we've still got an advantage over them. But, you know, I'm tempted to say that Arsenal, having been in pretty good form, are maybe not quite as close to us as it was looking, whereas Spurs, dare I say it, look to have got their act together under Tuchel, which is a bit of a worry.
Under Mourinho.
Under Conte. Hang on, how many other managers can we... No. Yeah, you're right, JK, it's Conte. How unforgivably stupid of me. So he can't take this lightly because we're not clear. We're not clear away, you know, and there's still, we've got another 9 games to go. You know, not all of them are easy. So, you know, we can't step this lightly. And I tell you, I will go absolutely spare if we make this go into the last couple of games. I really, really will. Anyway, talking about Southampton, I'm going to read you this. This just makes absolutely no sense to me whatsoever. A 1-1 draw with Leeds last time out helped Southampton arrest their four-game competitive losing streak as they eye a top half finish in the Premier League for the first time since 2016-17. I mean, talk about a contradiction in terms, because I then looked at their last few games. Oh, they must have been doing really well, I thought. They're mid-table. They drew against Leeds 1-1, and the previous four games they've all lost. They got walloped 4-1 by City, no shame in that. They lost at home 2-1 to Watford. They lost at home 2-1 to Newcastle. And they got humped 4-0 by Villa, who are the most inconsistent side in the league by a country mile. So basically, Southampton are still completely shit, as we expect them to be. And yet, there they are in 12th place. If they win, God forbid they win on Saturday, they could go as high as 8th. No, 9th. It's just nuts. I don't get this at all.
I don't think there'd be many teams Tuchel would want to face less between Real Madrid than Southampton because of the way they play. Because they're proper high press, high intensity, we're going to come at you and we may get picked off, but that's the way we're going to play. That's not an opponent you want between two big Champions League games, because they will push you. And that's why, again, you know, this selection becomes incredibly difficult, because you don't get it right and Southampton will potentially run over you. And then it would be three defeats on the bounce, and you know, then probably gets to this Chelsea point of, oh, what's going on wrong? What's going wrong? Is it all going wrong under Tuchel now? And that's the last thing.
Crisis club Chelsea. Yeah, you can see it, can't you? You can see it. But I mean, to be fair though, and I'll ask this of Mark, but to be fair, Mark, actually, if I'm playing Real Madrid, who basically monstered us in midfield, outcompeted us and pressed us really aggressively and effectively hit us on the break with goals as well when we lost the ball in transition. In terms of preparation for the rematch against Real Madrid, Southampton, in spite of what Adam has said, could be the ideal opponents on Saturday, because we'll get a bit of practice in.
I was thinking, as Adam was saying, I thought, oh, this could be a dress rehearsal.
Yeah.
But, you know, Adam's right as well. It really will depend on what team we pick. We pick the wrong team and it ain't going to be a dress rehearsal. It could be a bad defeat. And I think that the problem Tuchel has got is, what team does he put out? You know, does he put a strong team out, yeah, as a dress rehearsal, but then risk the players getting injured? Or does he put a weaker team out? Yeah. And when I was thinking about the team I would pick, I had very different side to you. You know, I thought that maybe Lukaku and Werner, he might play. Yeah, I know we were saying about it earlier. Yeah, and just, you know, play him in this game.
I thought you wanted to pick a strong team.
No, I know. That's what I'm saying. I said, you know, it really depends on what side he puts out.
Yeah.
Does he put a strong side out as a dress rehearsal for Real Madrid, or does he just do the squad rotation and forget about Real Madrid? You know, rest key players because we'll need them for next week. And if he does that, there's every likelihood that he might play Lukaku or play Lukaku and Werner. Yeah, he might play Saul, he might play Saar. Yeah, he might make quite a few changes.
Yeah. Yeah, well, and he might get humped if he does that. I'm not in favour of that.
I know, but yeah, he's in that position. Does he put a strong side out to get us back into winning ways, but risk players getting injured, or still work on the basis that, you know what, we could still pull something out of the bag next week in Madrid?
He's really hard to read on this. Adam will verify
exactly
this. But JK, he is really hard to read on this, because he always talks a good game. Like, he does treat one game at a time. He focuses on the match in hand. He'll play the strongest side he can to do that. And yet we've seen plenty of evidence where he's completely not done that in games before. So it is a toughie.
The press of the other day, we thought he was going to play Reece James, didn't we?
Yeah.
And because he said, yes, he's ready, he's prepared, and he didn't play him. So, and Cheek got the nod in midfield when we had no conception that was going to happen at all. So he's the man, he knows what he wants.
He knows exactly what we need. Definitely not Timo in attack, Tommy. Yeah, but
no.
Yeah, exactly. You know, Adam, it is a strange one. It is a strange one. I have to say for myself, I hope he goes strong on Saturday, and I hope he goes out to win on Saturday, because I'm really, you know, like I said, I don't think there's enough clear distance between us and Arsenal and Spurs yet to really rest on our laurels. And, you know, in a way, I would treat the Real Madrid as a game as a bonus game. I mean, I think the Southampton game now is more important than the Real Madrid game, because he did also say, and I know you said he qualified his, well, we've got no chance, we're out, with, oh, well, I'm now focusing on the Southampton game. But he also re-qualified it by saying, well, nobody, you know, not many people have actually come back from 3-1 down, notably forgetting the fact that Chelsea did against Napoli in 2012. Although, of course, the fundamental difference there, we were at home. You know, yes, we're away in the Bernabeu. And I do think, for all intents and purposes, this tie is over. But, you know, I think they could give it a right go. But I would go strong. I would pick the first team, the best team he's got available on Saturday, and then on Wednesday, or Tuesday rather, reassess and just give it a go. Give it an absolute go with everything you got. But you got nothing, because you got nothing to lose.
Yeah, and I suppose in a way, by saying that he thinks the tie's over, he is taking it, the pressure off Chelsea, and is going with that mindset. Well, we've got nothing to lose now, the tie's done, so let's go out there and give it a go, like you say. So, yeah, maybe he will go strong at the weekend. I suspect we may see a sort of hybrid. There'll be this sort of maybe the key men in there, and then a couple of sort of window dressing around them to try and make up an 11 that will be competitive. And yeah, then it's such a short turnaround, though, after this Southampton game is the problem as well, because they'll have a recovery day Sunday, then they'll be flying out on Monday, yeah, and then game Tuesday. So he has to have that in mind. No matter what he says, there has to be some thought on that game,
yeah,
because, you know, get an early goal in the Bernabeu, then who knows what happens.
Well, indeed, but I think it doesn't matter, because I think it'll be whatever will be on Tuesday. You know, I actually think that say we were going to Madrid with a 1-0 lead, or it had been 2-2, I think it would be a much harder decision for him in a way, because he would be torn between who he has to pick for Southampton, knowing he really has to get a result there, and also keeping enough in hand for the match, which he has a very realistic chance, yeah, of going through the semi-final. The reality is we have to win against Southampton on Saturday. We're very unlikely to get a result on Tuesday, but we might. So you focus on, yeah, you focus on tomorrow, and you see what happens on Tuesday. That's my argument, which is why, obviously, I should be the manager of Chelsea. No, clearly not. Mark, how do you see this one going, mate?
On that very debate we've had, if we work on the basis he picks a really strong team, I think we'll win 2-0.
I like that. Adam?
Similar to Mark, if he goes strong, I think we'll win 1-0, and it will be very much organised, we're not letting anything happen as has happened the last two games kind of performance.
JK?
It's so dependent on the side he selects, isn't it? I could see us having this hybrid side you were talking about and coming away with a 2-1 victory. But I think it's more likely to be a draw, actually, because I think one eye will be on the game on Wednesday. So I think it's
Tuesday. Tuesday, JK.
Sorry, Tuesday.
Don't tell me you're going out there and expecting it on Wednesday.
Are you going, JK?
Funnily enough, no. I've managed to persuade myself not to this time.
Yeah,
but yeah, it's Tuesday, so it'll be for me. It'll be 1-1 tomorrow.
Okay. Mark, are you going?
Saturday, not Friday. Sorry,
JK. Just to confuse you further, are you going? Are you going on Saturday, JK?
I am. I'm not going on Friday.
No, good. You are going on Saturday, though.
I'm going on Saturday. I have a ticket, yes. Yeah. And I'm meeting. I have a train ticket as well. Yeah. Just to explain.
I'm now...
And by the way...
Go on.
My broadband, by the way, is 0.50.
Yeah. Hawaii 5-0, mate. That's very low. Yeah. You should talk to your internet provider. Who's your internet provider?
My internet provider's BT.
Well, tell them they're
it
fucking
should be
useless.
66.
You know, tell
it
them
should
to get
be 66.
Tell them that they should pay Jake Humphreys a lot less and spend more on their fucking internet connections.
Joe Cole's good though.
Oh, isn't he just lovely? I love the boots off the man. I love him. I actually could see him. In fact, there were periods in the game on last night, because of where I sit, I can see their kind of you know, where their little studio, if you like, and I could see Joe Cole, and I was so distressed with the game. I spent a lot of the time just looking at Joe Cole, beaming at him, hoping that the love of my life would just look round and catch a glimpse of one of his super fans, but sadly he didn't. But there you go. Yeah, that's really, that's, I mean, that is criminally low, JK. We'll talk after the show about that. Yeah, so I, what I was going to say, JK, I'm now even more distressed and depressed that I'm not going to be at my favourite away game, which is, of course, the nearest Premier League ground to me now. And I always go to Southampton away, and I get thoroughly shit-faced in the Giddy Bridge and other places as well. But I can't go because I'm travelling down from dirty Leeds on Saturday afternoon. But now I'm even more depressed because I know I could have seen you down there. I could have gotten the same train. I could have told, what train are you getting, JK? And I could have gone at Winchester and I could have seen you on the train and then in the ground. So I'm really disappointed.
All these fleeting moments, unfulfilled. It's life, really.
I know, mate. I know. Killing Joke, I'm afraid, had to come first. And the irony of it is I'm going to see Killing Joke. I'm going to see Killing Joke with my best mate, who is a Southampton fan. Go figure.
Did you get it wrong? Did you get it wrong at the time? Did you forget the game was on, or did they?
We didn't even know the game was on because we bought the tickets before the fixture list was announced. Tickets came out before the fixture, and then it came out. I said, Simon, we've fucked up here, mate. We've got to sort this out. I've just been praying for it to move to a Sunday or even, you know, whatever. What can you do? Anyway,
it's one of the reasons I've made my Rudy V gig on a Friday.
Yeah.
In June,
yeah.
So it won't interfere with anything.
No, exactly. That's going to be the unofficial Chelsea Fancast summer party, isn't it? That I'm looking forward to that.
Oh, I'd love it if it was Friday, June the 3rd.
Indeed. Well, look,
Adam, that's when I'm gigging, Adam. Just so you've got to come along or not, as the case may be.
No, Adam, where the gig is, it's a really nice basement bar. Yeah.
Where is it?
I recommend it.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Where is it?
It's the same place as your book launch, isn't it, JK?
Yeah.
Is that the East End?
It is East, but it's just near Tower Hill Station.
It's almost in civilization then, so that's all right. Not too close.
A couple of roads later it becomes very uncivil.
Well, you know what we should do? We should load up on a massive curry.
Carabang?
No, curry. Oh, my favorite curry house is the Lahore Kebab place in it's either Commercial Road or Whitechapel, just round the corner. So there's a thought. Anyway,
stink the place out.
Well, you know, the odd fart here and there won't cause too many problems. I won't stack up on the actually they don't sell booze. You have to bring your own. That's one of the attractions about it. Anyway, we digress as we always do. Are you going, Adam, on Saturday? You reporting it on Saturday? Good man. See, I'm going to miss you on the train as well.
Indeed.
Damn it.
Out there Saturday, then Madrid, out onto Madrid on early Monday.
Oh, you're off to Madrid too?
Yeah, I'm out there for 3 days, basically. So
lovely.
Assuming that the sort of airport chaos doesn't stop me getting out, which I'm a little bit wary of now, but yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It'll be nice. Oh, no. Hopefully we get to see some miracle performed as well.
Where are you staying in Madrid, Adam? Do you know? Yeah, you booked up?
I cannot remember off the top of my head. Near to, it's sort of 10-minute walk from the Burnabout is. That's all I can really remember.
Oh, right, yeah. If you're in the centre, we could probably recommend some bars to you, yeah.
Well, actually, one of my, a good friend of mine who I started out with at the Watford Observer is now Spanish football correspondent for AFP, and I will be meeting him out there for dinner because we haven't seen each other for about 3 years.
Brilliant. Have a bit of tapas. Well, I'm just delighted you're going out there, mate, actually. That's the main thing. It's about time you got a good one there. And as you say, you could be witness to a historic night of football. It could happen. It could. This is Chelsea. Anything can happen. Anyway, sad not to see you on Saturday, that's for sure. Mark, I presume you're going on Saturday?
No, I'm not going down to Southampton. My football fix on Saturday will be Wealdstone versus Chesterfield.
Oh, God, the Chesterfield people.
Yes.
I wonder if we'll see that bloke we had on the show.
Well, I did say, actually, you just reminded me. What was the name of his podcast?
I can't remember. Legends of the Spire.
Legends of the Spire. Yeah, I did say I'd message him if he was coming down. So yeah, I'll drop him a message. Yeah.
Good stuff. Anyway,
he come down. Yeah.
I've just realised that I've not given you my view of how it might go. I mean, I have no idea. Is the honest answer. I'm going to go for the reliable Prem prediction score of 2-1 to Chelsea. I've got a hex stat for you. You know, like we have all these kind of stats, and I like to give the hex of the week stat. Okay, ready for this? Chelsea last failed to score at Southampton back in 1997. You know what's going to happen now. And it'll be all my fault, as it always is. Nah, we'll be all right. We'll win 2-1, I'm sure of it. I think the size of the bollocking that Tuchel will have given them last night and this morning, I think we might see a very different approach from Chelsea on Saturday. I think he might have really stuck it into them. I mean, I bloody well would if I was him, that's for sure. So hopefully that's what he's done, and hopefully he's sorted out the wheat from the chaff, you know, because I think there are players there who are not putting it in at the moment, and that is infuriating as a supporter and a manager. But there you go. Right, enough from us tonight. JK and I will be back on Monday for the main Chelsea Fancast show with guess who? Mark Meehan. Who knew? So we've got a double dose again. Of Meehan. We've got a double dose of Meehan again.
I'm following Martin Wickham's turn last week on every show.
Well, yeah. It's funny you should say that. It's funny you should say that because we've also got Martin Wickham on. Yeah, seriously.
Fantastic.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. So there you go. So me, JK, Mark and Martin at 7 o'clock looking back at the match against Southampton and ahead to the Champions League tie against Real Madrid. Mark, it's been lovely seeing you always. It's really lovely to see you last night. Thank you for the book again. I really appreciate that.
No, my pleasure. It was good seeing you last night. And that was a disappointing thing and frustrating thing about last night. Everything was lined up for a great Chelsea victory. Yeah. But it was great at the stall. You know, so I then went to drink in the Rose, saw good people in the Rose, saw Mr. Beard was in the Rose. You know, we had Chris the Vet from Stoll, who's become a bit of a Jonah now. So he's had tickets sorted out for two games now since we met him on the sleep out, and we've lost both of them.
Well, I'm beginning to think so am I. These are the first two matches I've seen since November, and we've got humped in both of them.
But, you know, the vibe was good last night. Yeah, you know, it's just a shame that, you know, we didn't get it over the line, but let's see what happens next week.
Yeah, absolutely. Adam, always lovely to see you, as you well know, but particularly for the entire show. You're now up there with Daniel Childs. What can I say?
That is high praise. So thank you very much.
Brilliant. Mate, enjoy Southampton on Saturday. Sorry I won't be down there, but in particular, enjoy Madrid. It'll be a great experience, whatever happens.
Yes, thank you, mate. Enjoy your gig as well.
I will. And as I said, by Sunday, I shall probably be broken. You may not hear from me for a while. That's all I'm saying. I'll try and get that article out. Actually, do you know what? Actually, I've got no time. I'm stuffed. The only time I can do it is Sunday. So let's hope I'm not too broken. That's for sure. But there you go. And last, but by no means least, we can't see him, but I know we can hear him. The absolutely fabulous Jonathan Kidd. Well done, mate. He's back.
I've come in from my purdah.
Yeah. Right, we're all right complaining. We'll write complaining letters to BT just for you, mate. But lovely to see you as always. Enjoy Saturday. Say hello to Southampton for me, and I'll see you back on Monday. Mixler people, lovely to see you in there too, in here too, rather than tonight. Thank you for listening. Thank you, everybody who's into the podcast, for listening. See you on Monday. Until then, keep it blue, keep it carefree, and keep it Chelsea. Up the Chelsea! It's the 90th minute. All your mates around. You've got your McNuggets share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.